Nehemiah, fourth chapter. We're going to begin the new year with a message from the book of Nehemiah. And I think that everyone here understands that opposition is always there in the Christian life. The song says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." It's true. Amen. Let's stand. Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. You start reading at verse number 1. "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and in the army of Samaria and said, 'What do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. It came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and considered and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against that them day and night because of them. And Judah said, 'The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall.' And our adversaries said, 'They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease.' It came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all places whence we, 'Since ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you.' Therefore, said I, in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people from their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, 'Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again today, I certainly want to thank you for the wonderful grace of God. Thank you for your goodness and, Lord, who you are. And even the scriptures reminded us to remember the Lord, who's great and terrible, Lord, and you're just great and powerful and can do all things. And we need to keep our hearts remembering you. And Father, help us to do that today. Lord, once again today, as we begin to bring this message, we ask you, God, to help us. Empower us, use us, give us wisdom we need, and give us hearts, Lord, that will receive that which is being brought, that we might be stronger for thee, Lord, stronger in thee, Lord, and that we might face this coming year, Father, with a determination to keep our hearts and our minds on you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, as I was saying earlier, you know, there's and I named the message this morning, there will be opposition. There will be opposition. And I was thinking about that as I was preparing for this message. I was thinking about, you know, there's no doubt that old Satan just wants to hurt and destroy and hinder God's people. Now, there's no doubt about that. You know that. I mean, he's not for you. Amen? He's not for you. He's against you. And there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about the world out there is against us. The world has a whole different system than we have. Amen. I mean, they're going in a whole different direction than we are. And the Word of God tells us, oh, Satan's our enemy. He tells us that the world is our enemy. And there's no doubt whatsoever that the flesh is our enemy. You and I are going to face our old enemy, that flesh, for the rest of this year and for the rest of our life. And it's just the way it is. It's part of it. And we just have to understand there's an answer to all of this. There's a great and wonderful God. Opposition is going to come. I don't know what kind of opposition is going to come to you this year. I don't know how much opposition is going to come. I look back over the year of 2003, and I said, and I say this rightly, not in any way thinking that there wasn't things, but I think, God gave us a good year. Now, I don't mean there wasn't opposition, there wasn't things out there, but God gave us a good year. And we saw quite a few folks saved. We saw quite a few people baptized. We saw people added to the church, families added to the church. The church is fuller today than it was last year at this time. I'm thankful for that. And that's not bragging. That's bragging on God. You understand that. You know that. Amen. God is good. And if anything's done, there's a principle in that I've used for a long time, and I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart. I just believe there is absolutely, we completely as a Christian is completely and fully dependent on God. I mean, in every area, in everything we do, whatever we say, whatever's accomplished, we are dependent upon God. I keep that in my mind constantly. I don't care what it is. The smallest thing that I need to do, I need God. I need Him. And I don't care what it is, and to the largest thing that God would give me to do this coming year, I need Him, and I'm dependent on Him. I can't be independent of Him. I need Him. That's a principle. If you kind of hide that in your heart, it'll help you. Just never get to the place where you get a little bit proud and think you can get along. You can't, folks. You can't. I can't. We can't get along without God, and we need Him in every single thing we do. Amen. We need Him. If we need provision, it's going to have to come from God. We need strength, it's going to have to come from God. And so there's no doubt whatsoever the opposition for every one of God's children is going to be there this coming year. There's no doubt about that. And you're going to face Satan. You're going to face his temptations. You're going to face him trying to destroy you as a Christian. Whatever it might be, he's going to be there. The world is going to stand against you this year. The world wants you to stand with it. But you remember, you're going in a different direction. You're not going the way the world goes. Amen. And that old flesh of ours, that stuff called the flesh, is going to be against us. Amen. And so when we look in the book of Nehemiah here, you find that Nehemiah and the people who were come back there to build the wall had opposition. In the form of Sanballat and Tobiah, was basically the two that stood out here in this scripture here, was the two that stood out as standing against God's people. Okay? And so we're going to kind of use them a little bit this morning. You've heard messages from Nehemiah. You've heard that. I think it's a wonderful book. I think it's a tremendous book. It could help us so much. You could preach from the book of Nehemiah over and over and over and help us and help ourselves as Christians to understand the principles of opposition and what we do about them and all of those things. But I just want to bring to you a simple message this morning. There will be opposition. Now, first of all, in verse number 10, I want you to notice he says, and Judas said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. First of all, Judah said, now you got to remember something, you probably are familiar with this, but Judah was one of the main tribes. Coming from Judah seemed to be something that would be maybe from maybe one of the weaker tribes or one of the weaker people in Israel. But this was from Judah. And he was saying, you know what, we've lost our strength. We don't have our strength anymore. I see in the Christian world today, I see sometimes in your faces, I see sometimes in your actions, I see sometimes you maybe, and we'll get into that, but a little more frustrated. You sometimes don't think you have the strength anymore to go on. But that's not true. We have God. Amen. And Judah just looked at everything as though, oh, it was such a mess, such a problem, that we just don't have strength to go on. Yes, you do. Whenever there's God, there's always strength to go on. And we need to remember that, you know. And I know it seems like your strength is failing, but listen to me. When our strength fails, that's when God's increases. You've got to remember that. In weakness, that's when we are strong. Because like I said in the first principle there that I told you, we've got to depend on God. Amen. Now he looked, what happened was they looked around and they saw all the rubbish. The rubbish was all over the foundation. The rubbish was all around. And I think it was in, if I can find it here real quick, in verse number 2, midway, says, will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? I mean, that place was a mess. And they looked, and what they happened is they got their eyes on the rubbish. They began to look at the rubbish instead of looking at what God could do. Now, you've got to be careful. I've got to be careful because there is rubbish everywhere. And there's problems everywhere. There's the cares of this world. If you'll read in the Bible, God talks about the cares of this world. Folks, they are out there. They're all around us. And you know, and you got children. You're raising children. The cares of this world are there. Well, how am I going to feed them? How am I going to keep them clothed? How am I going to keep them schooled? What am I going to do about the money that's needed? What am I going to do about this and that? And how am I going to pay the rent? And how am I going to pay the house payment? And how am I going to pay the car? And how am I going to get gas? And I mean, the cares of this world are out there. They're all around you, and they surround you. But a lot of times, if you'll understand, that's just a bunch of rubbish that old Satan has put in your way or allowed there to be in your way, and he wants your mind and your heart put and looking at the rubbish. Folks, the rubbish has to be removed. They removed the rubbish. We know that. But listen to me. If you just keep your eye and mind only on the rubbish, there's going to be problems for the rest of your life. And what happens is when we keep our eye on the rubbish, we lose our vision that we ought to have for God. What is God going to do this coming year in your life? What do you want him to do this coming year in your life? What's your goals that you have set? Are you still got your eyes so much on the rubbish of this world and the cares of this world that you've not really looked ahead and said, God, this is what I want you to do for me this year. This is what I want to happen. Listen, God can do anything. You and I have just got to remember that. God can do anything. We've got to quit looking at the rubbish, and we lose our vision of what God can do in our life and what God wants to do here at our church, and get our minds off of all this rubbish that comes in. The cares of this world is everywhere. And if you let them, they'll control you. Amen. So we know, we don't know exactly how all of that was done, but we know the rubbish was removed. And if you and even the people looked there, they looked and they said, look at all this rubbish. We can't do anything. We can't build. Just look at all of it. And a lot of times we as Christians, we'll do the same thing. We can't go forward. We can't do this. Well, yes, we can. Because God is the God of removing rubbish. He knows how to do that. Amen. You see, I've been down in preaching now for about almost 34 years. I've seen time and time again, I've seen where people have just been hindered because they can't see past the rubbish. And folks, you want to get your eyes off of the rubbish. You want to get your eyes on the Lord and what he can do, and look at the vision, what God can do for your life. You've got to do that. Whether you understand that or not, but this church sitting here is a testimony to that, of what God can do. I remember the very first meeting we had. Brother Charles, I know, was probably there at that first meeting. Well, some of the other folk was there too when we went to build this church. But one of the people who stood up and said, well, I'm not picking on him, but one of the people stood up and said, you know, that's just too big a project. We can't buy that land. We can't build that church. They said, oh, we just can't do it. They was looking at the rubbish. They was looking at what, you know, all the things, the difficulties of life, and what it would take maybe to do this. But folks, look. Amen. I mean, you've got to get your eyes off the rubbish of this world and get your eyes on God. Now, I'm saying that also not just as a church, but I'm saying that as individually. Folks, God wants to do something for you this year. He wants to see great things happen and accomplished in your life. Amen. But if you keep your eyes on the rubbish, that's all you're going to see. Amen. Also, we find in verse number 10 also, and notice at the last he says, so that we are not able to build the wall. I mean, they said, we are not able to do it. They got to the place where they lost all confidence. They was not just losing confidence in themselves. They was losing confidence in God. They said, now look, that we've lost our strength. The rubbish covers everything. We are just not able to do it. Boy, I this is not a time for testimonies, but I could look out here and see some people that went through some times that said, you know what, we just can't do it. I mean in their own life, from the physical standpoint, they can't do it. And all at once they do it because of God. What God has done in their life and turned their lives around and helped them down the road. Why? Because it's God doing it. But listen, there comes a time, if you don't be careful, you get your eyes on the fact that you don't have any strength, you don't have, the rubbish is everywhere, you'll just say, we're just not able to do it. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Not because of you, but because of God. Amen. Yes, you can. Amen. So we find also, if you look in verse number 11, he says, and our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. You know, I was talking about a little earlier about the world and how it's going to discourage you. The adversaries come along and said, you know what, you can't do this. It's impossible. You can't do this. Don't you see? You're just going to be like a little fox running up against a wall. You can't do it. The adversary is never going to encourage you. The world is never going to encourage you. Those carnal Christians are never going to encourage you. They're going to keep saying it just can't be done. But yes, it can. Yes, it can. Because we have God. Amen. And so you're never going to be encouraged to do what should be done from those who don't want to get the job done. You're never going to be encouraged. What we need to realize is that that's just the adversary working against us. Satan's not going to come along and say, well, you can do it. Come on, just stick in there. That's not his job. The world's not going to come in and say to you, come on, you can get the job done. You can do it. You can make it. The world isn't going to do that. And let me say to you, the flesh is not going to do that either. No. You're going to give up. But no, but there's God. That's why you've got to get your eyes. Remember something. As I told you at the beginning of this message, you are completely and fully dependent upon God. It's impossibility for you and I to accomplish anything without Him. Boy, keep that in your mind. Amen. So what are we going to do? Well, I want to show you in verse number 13, he says, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Do you notice when he came up and all of this opposition was coming against him and all of this saying we can't do it, it's just impossible, all this, Nehemiah come along and reorganized things. You know, sometimes you just need to reorganize your life. You know, if things are not working the way they're going, why don't you change them? You know, it isn't going to do any good to keep doing the same thing you're doing. You're getting defeated and you're doing the same things you've been doing last year. And just keep doing those things, you're going to be defeated this year. You got to change some things. You got to reorganize. You got to make some changes in your life. Amen? Now, if you'll look what he said in verse 13, he said, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places I will set the people after their families. I want you to listen to this preacher for a few moments, okay? I want to appeal to each and every one of us here today to do something. I believe something. I believe God Almighty is first in our life. Do you believe that? I mean, I believe our relationship with God Almighty is first. Do you believe that? And I do believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is building the church. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the church should certainly be the center point of your life? Do you believe that? I believe that with all of my heart. I've believed that ever since I've been saved. My pastor, he never once had to come to my house and ask me why I wasn't coming to the church after I got saved. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you. I got saved, I knew I was supposed to be in church. I'd heard him preach it, I'd read it in the Bible, I knew we were supposed to gather together. I'm just saying to you, church, getting out of church, being away from church, is going to absolutely help bring defeat to your life. Church should be the main vocal place of your life. Amen? Now, having said all that, listen to me. The right kind of church is going to be formed by people who have the right kind of families. No, let me say something to you. I want you to listen to this preacher this morning. My heart is just really taken up with this. I want so much for the families of this church to understand the principles of family. I want you to understand, if you listen for a moment, that as he placed the families together, I want you to understand that husbands and wives, you must build your relationship between yourselves. No, you must do that. If there's something lacking between that relationship between you and your wife or your wife and your husband, you must build that. You must do everything to build the relationship between that wife and that husband. That's what's going to bring a strong family. We'll get to the other part of the family in a moment, but that's what's going to bring a strong family. You husbands and wives, work at this. It isn't something just all at once happens. We began to take those whom we love for granted. And that's what happens. Husbands and wives just began to take them for granted. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a certain degree of taking for granted. I love my wife very much, and I take her for granted to some degree. But I never forget who God gave me. She's my wife, and God gave her to me. And I must do my best to see to it that I love her and show her I love her. I must do that. And that's true also for the wife. She must build that marriage. She must. Now, the other part of that family is the children. A family is made up. If you'll go to the book of Ephesians, it's very simple. You go to the book of Ephesians, God talks to the wife, he talks to the husband. And then he talks to the children in that book. What is a family made up of? It's made up of husband, wife, and children. Now that's a family. Okay? Now when those children grow up and get married, they make a new family. No, they make a new family. Donna and I have four children. And I think every one of them sitting in here this morning. Yes, all of them sitting in here this morning. But you know what? They have grown up and they now have their family. And they all have children. That's a family. That's what God talks about in the scriptures. Me and Donna is still a family, and they are certainly a part of my family. But it's not like it used to be. They have their own families. That's the way God intended it. Now, who I'm appealing to is, daddies, build your family. Who is that? Your wife and your children. You say, Brother Ross, is that right? Look here in verse 14 at the end of it. And fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. He names them right there. Listen, you fight for those wives of yours and your sons and your daughters. Why? That's your family. And it's up to you, daddies, to build that family. Now, I'm serious. I could stand here today and I could allow my children, honestly, I could allow my children to stand up and testify. Do I interfere with your marriages? Do I tell you how to run your family? And I'd let you testify and say I do, if I do. Do I give you input? Yes. But do I ever interfere in your family's life? They're all shaking their head no. You know why? Because it isn't up to me to do that. It's up to them. Chuck is my daughter's husband. It's up to him to guide that family. Jerry and David and Bobby. It's up to them to guide their families. Now, do I ever try to put some input? Oh, I certainly do. Do I ever force my input on them? I do not. And a person is a fool if he does that. He's misstepping the family life. What I'm saying to you is, daddies, get a hold of your family. You lead your family the way God has led you to do so, and it should be according to this book. But your wives come first. Your children come first. How, why? It's your family. You need to build that family to the glory of God. This preacher gives counsel to families, but he never tells a family, he never goes into a family's place and tell them exactly what they should do, and they better do this and they better do that. None of you have ever had me do that. If you've ever asked me counsel, I've told you what I think you should do. What you need is the daddies. Situation come up here a while back. I've been a good long time ago. And you know what I said? I said, let me tell you something. This is a family matter. This is a daddy needs to know this. Daddy needs to know this. More than the preacher needs to know it, daddy needs to know it. Amen. Why? Because daddies are leadership of the family. And I'm saying to you folks, he reorganized some things. I would encourage you to reorganize some things for the coming year and get your family in the right place. And you can say, well, it's up to me to do it, and it is. God's going to hold you accountable, but do it according to the Bible. Do it according to the Bible. Amen. Wouldn't that be wise? Wouldn't that be the right thing to do? Sure. But I'm just simply saying, reorganize some things. Get your family right with God. And daddies, you need to step up and do this. You need to take over the leadership and say, I'm going to deal with my family according to the Word of God. My family, I'm responsible. And my wife, I'm her protector. I'm her provider. She's first. Why? Because the Bible says, leave your mother and your father and cleave to one another. Amen? Yes, it does. Oh, let's get it right. Let's get this thing right. Let's get it back. It ain't going to be right if we don't do it right. It ain't going to be right. So I'm saying to you, the best thing you can do is reorganize. You can absolutely go back and say, you know what? I'm going to start doing things scripturally. Amen? And wives, get in there and help your husbands. Be a blessing to them, an encouragement to them. Help them and serve with them and love them. And don't try to be the rule the roost and all these things. Just help your husband be the leadership of the home. Amen. New families are formed every time a child gets married. Amen. And this, listen, look at verse number 14. Here's what you say, well, how do I do all this, Brother Ross? Look at verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. How are we going to do it? We're going to remember the Lord. Amen. Folks, listen, God is good, and God will help you. God is your strength. You haven't lost your strength as long as you have God. You may lose your own physical strength, but you've got God. Amen. Amen. And you remember Him. Remember God. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants your family to succeed more than you do. He loves you very much. So remember God. Amen. Now you say, Brother Ross, got a lot ahead of me this coming year, I know. I'm not going to take too much time with each one of these, but I want you to listen to me just a moment. If you go back in the scriptures, you'll find in the book of Joshua, you'll find the story about Joshua as they was battling with the Ammonites. And the Ammonites was coming against Gibeah, which Gibeah was friends with Israel. They made a pact with them, and they called out and said, the Ammonites are coming against us, and we need you to come up and fight for us. And the battle was raging, and I mean, God was sending hailstones, and there was more that killed of hailstones than those that was slew by the Israelites. I mean, it was really a battle, and the battle was almost to end, and Joshua looks up to God and said, you know what, for deliverance, we need deliverance, and cause the sun to stand still, and the moon to stand still. And God caused it to happen. You know why? Because Joshua prayed unto his God. See, what's that got to do with it? What I'm telling you is this, there's going to be things this year that you need deliverance from. It's too big for you. No, I don't imagine God's going to probably stop the sun and the moon, but he'll do anything he needs to do to get it done. He's the same deliverer. And I want you to remember, what you and I need to do is remember God. We need to pray unto God. When the things get tough and they get hard, remember, stop whatever needs to be stopped and do whatever needs to be done. Will he not do that for you, to deliver you if you call unto him? Well, I believe he will. He's the same God of Joshua had. And we need to remember, we need to understand that there's times when we just need delivered. We can't do anything else. We don't know what to do. Call unto God. I remember also a man by the name Elijah, and I'm sure you're familiar with that story in the book of Elijah in 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. But the Bible tells us that Elijah was like passions as you and I. He prayed and it rained not for 3 years and 6 months. I just want to tell you something. When God needs something done, God will do it. Elijah stood there and proclaimed the fact it wasn't going to rain, and he prayed and he asked God to do it. God had already told him what to pray. I'm just simply saying to you folks, there's just times when we just need to get a hold of God. You see, in 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, he prayed and the fire fell from heaven and devoured the altar. And I like this one too. If you'll read in that portion of scripture, I'm not turning there for sake of time, but you read in that portion of scripture, 18th chapter, you find he prayed and the fire fell, and he prayed and the people fell. Up in a few verses before that, they said they wouldn't even answer Elijah. He said, who is God? You going to serve God? Serve him. You going to serve Baal? Serve him. Who's God? And they wouldn't even answer. But after they saw the fire come down from heaven, says they fell on their faces. Said, God is God. And what I'm saying, there's just times when you need the fire to fall. Amen. The false prophets fell too. They slew the false prophets due to the prayer of Elijah. Amen? Not only that, he prayed a little while later and it rained. I'm simply saying to you folks, don't we have the same God as Elijah had? Was he a man just in like passions such as we are? Was he? Isn't he the same God? What I'm saying to you folks is this. There's going to be times when you need the rain to stop or the rain to fall. There's going to be times when you've got people that won't come to God and you don't know what else to do. You just don't know what else to do. And you just need to turn to God and say, God, I need you. That God can do it. Amen. There's a time, and I have a feeling most of us is going to need this, maybe not for the same reason, but there's a time when David, and I'm not going to go over and read, but you ought to read Psalm 51. You ought to read the whole chapter. Psalm 51, there was a time when David needed forgiveness. Why? Because he had sinned. David had sinned. and he needed forgiveness. And you know what? I have a feeling that through this year, there's going to be times when we just need to call on God and ask for forgiveness. What I'm saying to you and to me is, let us not go through life, let us not go through this year with sin on us. Why don't we do like David did and ask God for forgiveness? Will not God forgive? Will not God cleanse? Sure he will. You know, one of the reasons he needed that, if you tell him, he wanted the Holy Spirit to be returned unto him. Now, I know the Christian does not lose the Holy Spirit of God, but he wanted the Holy Spirit in his life. Why did he want it? One of the reasons was he needed the joy of salvation. Why are we so sad anymore? Why is there so many Christians walking around with an old mule's look on their face? Now, I'm just telling you, folks, we need the joy of our salvation back. Amen. And a lot of times it's because sin is in our life and the presence of God is not there. Amen. Not only that, you'll notice in that same portion of Scripture, he needed the power of God. He needed God's power. He needed the joy of salvation, but he needed the power of God. And why did he need the power of God? So that the transgressors would be turned to God. How long has it been since you've been saved? How long has it been since you've seen someone saved? Where's the power of God? Where's the joy of salvation? Where's the power of God? Where is the transgressors coming to God? I'm just simply saying to you, folks, we need forgiveness of our sins. And throughout this year, we're going to need to call out to God and say, God, forgive us. It doesn't have to be the sin of David. It can be any sin that hinders our walk with God. Why are we so bitter? Why do we walk around with a bitter spirit? There's sin in our life. Has to be, or we wouldn't be bitter. David cried out to God, and God forgave him. And I'm saying to you, I think that's what we need to do. And then also, Daniel over in, I'm going to turn over there to the book of Daniel, 9th chapter, verse 22, let me read it. It says, and he informed me, and this is Daniel, and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. I don't know about you, but I think I do know about you, but I'm going to need a lot of wisdom this year. Boy, I'm going to need skill and understanding to get through the things that God's going to put me through this year or allow me to go through. Let me put it that way. What he's got ahead of me, I'm sure going to need skill, and I'm going to need understanding. I'm going to need his wisdom, and I have a feeling everybody out there is going to need the wisdom of God. And the Bible tells us that God sent unto Daniel and gave him skill and understanding. Folks, listen, it's there for the taking. God wants to give you the skill and the understanding and the wisdom that you need to face life this coming year. You may have some new projects that God wants you to do. Where are you going to get the wisdom to do them? From God. What have you got ahead of you this year? I don't know what you have ahead of you, but whatever you have, God's God, and he can help, and he can do. And he can give you the wisdom that you need. Say, boy, I've got a business adventure that's coming up, and I'm not sure what to do. God does. God does. Amen. Trust him. Believe in him. See, I just have a feeling you go back and you read these people who had prayed to God, and that was an answer to Daniel's prayer to God. I want to just kind of show you something here because it's interesting. You may not be turned there, but listen to a verse of Scripture in chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 17. Let me just read it to you. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. And listen to what he says. For the Lord's sake. You know why he wanted his prayer answered? For God's sake. For the glory of God he wanted it answered. It wasn't just for him. He wanted it for the glory of God. That's what Daniel said. Oh, answer my prayer for your glory, for your sake, so you'll be honored. And I'm saying that in your life and my life, we need the will, the skill and understanding and wisdom of God. For God's sake, we need that. So we can glorify God and honor God with our life. Amen. Well, is God there to do it for us? Well, I just believe he is.
I believe he's the same God. What we've got to recognize the fact is that we absolutely, absolutely are completely and fully dependent upon God. That we cannot do anything of ourselves. All we'll do, folk, is mess it up. You say, well, some people will. No, you will. I will. We need to depend on God in everything we do. Amen? And God is there to do it for us. Now, is there obstacles going to come this year? Yeah, there is, folks. They're going to be there. Can God do what needs to be done? Yes, he can, folks. Quit trusting in yourself. Quit trusting in circumstances. Quit looking at people. Quit looking at circumstances. Quit looking at all of these things and saying it can't be done. Yes, it can. God can do it. And wants to. Amen. So I'm just trying to get your hearts turned back toward God, because obstacles will come. Oh, they'll be here this year. There'll be the enemies facing you. Satan, the world, and the flesh will be here against you. Your adversaries will be saying it can't be done. Yes, you can. Yes, it can be done. Why? Remember God. He's great and terrible. Amen. He's wonderful. Let's pray. Father, I sure thank you again today for the fact of who you are. That we are completely, completely dependent on you, Father. We can't do anything. Not a thing. Not one thing can we do, Lord, without you that'll be of worth. We just need you. And I ask you this morning to help us as a people. Oh, God, help us as a people to honor your name and trust you. And as this coming year, day by day, as the things approach us, oh, God, help us to remember God. That you are good, you are great, and you are wonderful, and you can do all things, and we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So now help us today. Should there be anyone here today unsaved, oh, what a wonderful thing it would be if they'd begin this year, this Sunday, the first Sunday of the year, by putting their faith and trust in Christ, be born again. I ask you, God, have the will of God done in each of our lives. Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.